This is Jules Schiller on ABC Radio Adelaide.
The Northern Carers Network are partnering with the Australian Anti-Ice Campaign to run educational workshops in high schools about the dangers of ice. The initiative is using trained presenters who themselves have recovered from ice addiction. One of the speakers joins me now, Andrea Simmons. Hi, Andrea.
Hello, Jules. Thanks for having me on the show.
Now, probably have to get it in the open. You had problems with ice yourself at some stage in your life, is that right?
Absolutely. AAIC was founded in order to educate and raise awareness about the dangers, the horrific dangers of the drug ice, from my own personal experience. So I was introduced to ice 8 years ago. From somebody that I cared for, had known for 13 years and trusted. And it came in a form of a little glass pipe and looked like no big deal. Jules, this first hit of ice or puff of ice took me into a spiral down to hell that almost robbed me of my life, but has left me severely damaged, both physically, financially, and emotionally for a long time. I've been in recovery now for 6 years. I founded AAIC in order to educate more youth specifically, but all community members need to know, the truth about ice, what's in ice, what's it look like, the fact that marijuana is being laced with ice, and that it is being introduced to youth and kids as young as 8 in our community.
Yeah, because one of your initiatives is noteveonce.com. So you're talking about don't even take it once. I mean, as someone who has never taken it once, and you talk about it was innocuous, a good friend, a glass pipe, what is it about trying ice once that puts you on a spiral like that?
Okay, what it actually does, your brain actually overproduces dopamine. So that the first high that you get from ice is a high like no other. So it's a very euphoric feeling and everything else around you disappears. It's what entraps you, Jules, is the come down, okay? So when you're coming down off it, it often and always attracts depression and often attached with psychosis and paranoia, but anxiety is an onset of that as well. And so people just want to embark on that feel-good feeling again. I don't know anybody that's tried it once and not gone back a second time for it. And what happens is it very, very quickly hijacks the frontal lobe of the brain, where you make logic and rational decisions from. And very, very quickly the drug actually becomes in charge and not the user anymore, and you become solely dependent on this drug to survive, almost like air.
Yeah, I mean, looking at you now, and we'll talk about the program that you're doing in school, Andrea. I mean, obviously you're pretty organized to do all this, and you're obviously got a pretty active brain and a lot of motivation. So it's strange to sit across you and think that at one stage you couldn't muster any of those instincts. I mean, is it that powerful? And how did you pull yourself out?
It is that powerful, and what you see before you is the external, and this is what we talk about in schools. Jules, I look okay to you, but you don't know that I have bleeding kidneys and that I have heart issues and that I have memory issues. We have an amazing team of professionals around me to be able to do what I do, and not only myself, but we have duplicated that across different states around Australia, and we have trained presenters here on the ground in Adelaide to do the work that we do throughout Queensland and Victoria and Cairns. So what you see on the outside, yes, everything looks great. We don't come out unscarred. A very small percentage of people that embark in ice addiction actually come out the other side. So, we are...
So how long were you, under the effects of ice or under its power? And what was the moment that caused you to kind of go, enough, I'm going to do something about it, Andrea?
Yeah, I was using ice for 2 years, about a $500 a day habit. I smoked 3 houses, my Mercedes, everything I owned. Lost contact with reality, Jules. And, I stopped breathing at one stage, mixed a couple of drugs, I slept and had a crash for a few days. A few days later, I had a supernatural encounter with God, is what I call it. It was I had an experience, an epiphany, if you want to call it that, that led me out of another state. I was in Melbourne at the time, and it led me to get on a plane, and it led me back home to my family, where my family, my friends, that used to know who I was, who barely recognised me at that point because I was 20 kilos lighter than what I should have been, and very, very sick, they came around and loved me back to life. I was taken into a church where people, you know, kept me occupied and you know, weren't condemning me. And I was led to I was put into a tripod system of support, which is what we do with people in addiction today. We engage them in going to see a drug and alcohol counsellor, engaging them in NA meetings, AA meetings, or CMA meetings, which is group therapy, 2 to 3 times a week, and having a buddy, somebody that can walk with them in the early stages of recovery while their brain is not working, because somebody needs to be thinking about the next call to make. So we provide those buddies. Those buddies are people like me. And presenters who have been through there and can hold that person's hand until they can start to sort for themselves. The whole recovery of that frontal lobe, Jules, takes about 12 to 18 months.
Wow.
It's a very long period.
That's the voice of Andrea Simmons. She's CEO of the Australian Anti-ICE Campaign, and they've got an initiative. They're working with some high schools in Northern Adelaide that we're about to talk about. But before we go there, Andrea, what do you think would have happened to you if you hadn't pulled yourself out of this spiral?
If I hadn't have met God at that moment, I would have been dead today. I know
you think
that
you really think you would have died?
Absolutely. About a week before that encounter, I stopped breathing. I went into a part coma, and I woke up thrown in the back end of a room, and I could have been dead. I didn't know how to stop. Ice was like air. I couldn't get my head off the pillow without having a hit, and the trouble and all the consequences that were coming, you know, upon me from using it was too scary to stop, because I had to face all of that, and I didn't know how to do that.
So you're doing these talks, or you've got this initiative going in some high schools in Northern Adelaide, I think around the Playford district. What are you telling the kids about? You know, what makes it effective?
We provide an evidence best practice presentation. It's a workshop where the kids, we're not their teachers, we're not their parents, we're not even here to tell them not to do drugs. But we're here to show them some information that we wish we would have known. Things like the ingredients in ice. You know, people don't understand that there's things like acetone, which is nail polish remover, Drano, and countertop cleaners in ice production, sometimes even glass. They don't understand what it looks like, different forms that it comes in, that marijuana can be laced with ice. They need to understand, it's easy to stand in a classroom and say, oh, you get psychosis from it, but let me explain what psychosis is. Let me tell you about what happened to me. And that makes all the difference, because, you know, you've been there, and the kids can ask real questions, and they can really understand it from somebody's mouth that has actually walk that walk. And by the end of that workshop, these kids don't want to go there. They, you know, they're very grateful for the information and for the open communication that we give them, that space to talk.
How prevalent would ice be in high schools in Australia, or maybe those suburbs of Northern Australia? Are some parents naive? I mean, you know, if parents are listening, are they thinking, well, how would I know if my child has ever tried ice?
There are some symptoms to look for. The problem is much worse than what we can see on the onset out there in the community. If you're not looking out for the signs, and if you're not really aware of what, you know, of ICE and what it's doing in our community. Look, it's out throughout Australia. It's a global issue. There is an epidemic, and we don't have enough resources to actually help this issue. Our Australian Anti-ICE Campaign work on educating enough people in the community and youth so we can stop people actually even trying it once, because once they do embark on that journey, what happens there from there, you know, we just, as a community, we cannot resource what's going on. It's affecting, you know, too many people.
And is it rewarding for you? Is it hard to sort of bring back and talk about these memories to kids, you know, and it sounds pretty horrifying parts of your life back there, Andrea?
It is, Jules, and a lot of our presenters do cry through it, but, you know, they know that it's going to serve a good purpose. It is hard, but it's we can use what tried to destroy us and what left us scarred. We can use it for good for the community. The amazing part of this for me is that I see we help people in addiction every day, and they they, you know, we help them create pathways into recovery, but we give them hope because they see people like us who have recovered, and you know, they have hope that perhaps they can come and help and be of purpose and be able to be normal again, you know.
So if people are listening to this and maybe there's a friend or a relative or even a child that they have that has a problem with ice, where should they visit? Where can they read some more or watch some videos or get in touch with your organisation, Andrea?
Absolutely. We have a website. That website's www.australiananticecampaign.org.au. We have a very active Facebook page, Australian Anti-Ice Campaign. Actually, tonight we have a live cross show that we do every Thursday night on the couch, interviewing people who have been through addiction, and that's all up on YouTube. We have various shows there about people's journeys, and to really raise awareness and help people with some tools that may work for loved ones. We encourage you to take that link and share it with your loved one that might be in addiction. There'll be stuff there that we say that will hit home, and we outreach to those people to reach out to us for help.
Andrea Simmons, thank you so much for coming in. It's a problem that many people are trying to tackle on many fronts, so good luck with your effort.
Thank you.
That's Andrea Simmons there. Jules Schiller, ABC Radio Adelaide.